Hallelujah. Say, I'm excited about the word. Amen. Well, we began, you know, these Wednesday night refreshings came out of a prophetic word. And really, Acts 3:19 says, repent every one of you, and you'll experience times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. And so really, that's what these Wednesdays are about, to come and experience times of refreshing. Aren't you glad he put an S on that word time? Amen? And so we're glad to have you here, and we're going to get into the word tonight. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 11, I want you to look at that. I know I had been doing a series on honoring our heritage of faith, and it's kind of along those lines, but it's kind of different. So, but God's got something good in store. And in verse 11, the Bible says that through faith, also Sarah herself received. Say received. What did she receive? She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age. Say past the age. So it was physically impossible. And because she judged him faithful who had promised. Who did she judge faithful? God, him who promised, okay? So the only thing that she had to rely on, it was not her physical strength, it was not her status in life, but she had to rely on one thing, and that was the faithfulness of God. And when she considered him faithful, that consideration caused strength to come to her, okay? So tonight, I kind of want to talk about how to activate, say activate, God's power in your life. Sarah had a promise, right? And we know that that promise wasn't given to her right at that moment, but it was given 25 years before that promise ever came to pass. How'd you like to hold on to a promise for 25 years? Anybody impatient? Well, you might miss out on what God has for you. To be impatient. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, through faith and patience, say faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So, something caused Sarah, caused power to be activated in her life that changed her inside. It made it from useless to effective. And it was the power of God that came on her. And so if Sarah found out how to activate God's power, don't you think that we should find that out too? All right? Now, what does that word mean, to activate? It means to set in motion. It means to create or organize like a military unit. You know, the president will say, activate the SEALs or the Marines or whatever. It means to purify sewage by aeration. It's used in chemistry to accelerate a reaction, like by using heat. It's used in physics to make a substance radioactive. That word activate. All right? There are some synonyms of this word. It means to make active, to set off, to turn on, to trigger, to start, to get going, to stimulate, to initiate, or to motivate. And how many would like to motivate or initiate God's power on your situation, in your life? God has made it possible for us to activate the power that's within the Word, that's within His name, that's already there, but we have to activate it. How many know that unless you have a clapper, these lights don't turn on? But how do these lights come on? There's a switch. And in this building, we only have one light switch for these lights. And we found out that that wasn't so good one time because it was in the kids' room, and one of the kids shut the lights off while we were in the middle of the service. So we had to change the switches, so you have to have a special key. And we put that key out of a kid's reach so they can't turn the lights off anymore. But so these lights, this building is wired for power. But that power is activated when you flip that switch. If that switch isn't flipped, these lights don't come on and they don't shine. The power is dormant. It's there, it's available, but you've got to turn the switch on in order to activate it or to use it. So we're going to talk about turning on or activating God's power in your life. All right? So something happened in Sarah. And what changed in her is when she started to think about the faithfulness of God. She started to think how God was faithful when he sent them away from Haran. She began to think how faithful God was when he protected her from Abimelech in Egypt. Remember? Abram said, tell him you're my sister. And she did, and the king almost took her. And God put he prevented Abimelech from doing anything because the whole house, everybody in the king's house was barren. And it wasn't until Abraham prayed for him that it was released because they could have messed things up. But she began to think how faithful God was in all the different things where God led her. He was faithful then, he was faithful here, he was faithful now. And you know what? The more she began to consider how faithful God, when she began to consider the faithfulness of God, I bet she took off into praise and worship. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. And all of a sudden, the more she began to do that, power was released in her. And her womb, which was dead, now became alive. She got a twinkling in her eye about Abraham. She started to say, boy, you're a handsome fella. And a spark was there that wasn't there for a long time. She activated the power of God. Even though the power was there all the while. It just took her a while to turn on that switch. Maybe she couldn't find the switch in the dark. Go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Whew, Lord, help me get through this. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 says, Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. So we have the Lord appearing to Abram and calling him. He called him to walk before him and to be mature or perfect. You know, when God says perfect, that doesn't mean you got to have everything in order. That simply means mature. All right? Walk before me and be mature. Grow up. Strengthen your faith. Okay? And then God said this in verse 2. He said, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. In other words, God put within Abraham the very thing that would cause him to activate the power that was already there. It was his covenant. It was his word. It was his promise. He said, I will make a covenant with you and me. And Abram, man, he was overwhelmed. He fell on his face. All right? But God was going to put the very thing he needed to activate the power that was already there, which was the covenant, okay? And he said, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name be any more called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. See, when God's going to cause you to activate his power, he's going to make something new out of you. He's going to do away with the old, and he changed his name. That's just like us When we come in, when we meet Christ, we get a new nature. Old things are passed away. You're no longer Abram, but now you're Abraham. And it was that very, that was the switch that activated God's power. Because when Abram began to call himself Abraham, power was coming to him to father a child. Not just one, but a father of many nations. Say many nations. You know, that's going to take some power. If you're going to be a nation builder, you're going to have some power. And when God changed his name, that was the switch that activated the power, because he began to say, I am Abraham, I am Abraham, I am Abraham. And every time he would say that, power would come to him. Strength would come to him. And because he said, a father of many nations have I made you. And he said, I'll make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. The power of God will always do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. It'll always do more. And then he said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. We are still operating under that covenant. We can still activate the power the same way Abraham did. All right? And he said, I'm going to give your seed land. And verse 9, he told him, he said, you shall keep my covenant. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. It's a blood covenant. Did you know that circumcision brings blood? All right? And then he went on to change Sarah's name. She's no longer Sarai, but she's Sarah. Because she was about to enter into a new phase. She was about to become a mother who was barren. She was at the age of 90. Now just think, if your 90-year-old would walk into the maternity ward and say, I need a test, what do you think the doctor's going to say? They're going to give you a straitjacket. They're going to put you like this. But this is what happened, because they learned how to activate the power of God. And when her name was changed, verse 16, he said, I will bless her and give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Well, you'd laugh too if you were him. He's like, how's this going to be possible? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael may live. Verse 18, and God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. God put the stop to that real quick. Because that Abraham could have dwelled on Ishmael. That's the off switch. That was the natural way of doing things. See, you can try to, let me put it this way. You can't activate the power of God with natural means. The Bible says natural man doesn't receive the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. What do you mean I got to? You mean preaching is going to change people's lives? That sounds so foolish to me. That's how God set it up. He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So, God was talking with Abraham, and so she was made new so that she could bear a son, and his covenant would be with Isaac. And then over in Genesis 18, verses 10 through 15, don't have to turn there, but the Bible says they were old and well stricken in age. And then in verse 21, the Bible says that Sarah bore a son. Someone who could not bear a son bore a son. Why? Because she activated the power of God. How did she do it? She began to consider the faithfulness of God. You know, you can either look at your problem, or you can look at the answer. And what you focus on is what's going to occur in your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if God can change the way you think about things and about your situation, then you have the tools to activate his power in your life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 1. Jesus is talking here, and he said, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Did he give them the power? Did they have the ability to heal the sick and cast out devils? Okay? Well, if you're going to cast out a devil, how are you going to activate the power to do that? First of all, you're going to have to recognize when an evil spirit is in operation. Secondly, you're going to have to confront it. Thirdly, you're going to have to command it to cast out. And when you do those things, the power of God will be there to back you up and to cause it to happen. That's the faith part. Jesus himself gave them what? He gave them power over unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out. So you could have the power, but if you don't know when the devil's operating and you never confront the devil, you'll never activate that power, even though you have the ability to do so. It wasn't up to Jesus already gave them the power, but it was up to them to activate what they had been given. And they had to confront demons, unclean spirits. Well, how do you know when an evil spirit's in operation? When you study the word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, not being ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you can rightly divide it, then that means you can wrongly divide it too. So if you want to activate the power to cast out devils, you're going to have to confront some devils. Otherwise, that power will be dormant in you. It's when you step out and act on the word is when you activate the power that's already there. You don't need any more power than Jesus saying, "I give you power." Okay? If I want to give you this Bible, how are you going to take it? Now, who has it? Now, it's up to you to do something with it. And the doing of it activates the power. What did Abraham do to activate power in his life? He simply said, "I am Abraham." He obeyed. Obedience activates the power. How many want to prosper? Right? What's going to activate your power to prosper in God's kingdom? Giving. Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given to you." What takes place first? The giving. That's the activating the power. When you give, what should I give? It. What do you need? What it do you need? You give what you need. Well, I need love. Hey, love on some people, and you'll get love back. I need some friends. The Bible says be friendly. When you be friendly, you are activating the power for people to be attracted to you. Amen? Give and it shall be given unto you. How's it going to come back to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will cause men to give into your bosom. When you step out in faith, God will always multiply that. And it will always come back unto you more than what you started with. But you need to give God something to start with. So if you have a desire to give, you can. Anytime during the service, we have a seed planter back there. You can give. Because that will activate the power. So, Jesus gave his disciples power. over unclean spirits. And you know what the 70 did? They actually went out and they ran into some evil spirits and they cast them out and they came back to Jesus. They said, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, oh, don't worry about it. I saw Satan fall like lightning. He said, don't be too concerned to whether the devils are subject to you or not, but be concerned that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Acts 1:8. You shall receive what? Power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. If you want power to witness, you're going to have to witness. You mean I got to tell someone about Jesus? Yeah. If you never tell anybody about Jesus, that power, even though you have it, is dormant. It's not active. It's not set in motion. But it's when you step out and you tell someone about Jesus that God's power is there. And all of a sudden, you start finding yourself saying things you never thought you knew. You'd be like, where'd that come from? You know, we have got to, each one of us has a part to play in the end time harvest. And we have an evangelism class every other Wednesday. The reason we have a class is to train people, to help you learn. Because the more knowledge you have, the more confident you'll be. And just because you come to the class on Wednesday doesn't mean you have to go out. All right? But we want to equip you. What would you think if a fire company sent a fireman into a fire without any equipment? They wouldn't rescue many people because they'd be getting burned themselves. But what does the fire company do? It provides them with a helmet, a coat, boots, a mask. It provides them with equipment to protect them to help other people. So our evangelism class is designed to equip you. And when you get enough courage to begin to tell someone, then you'll have the equipment necessary. All right? So if you want to learn and develop that, come when we have our class. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, don't even know how I got on all that. I didn't intend to do that. So when you step out and do what the Word says, the power will be there to help. But it's up to you to activate the power. Too many of us are doing this. Boy, I wish God would come and touch me. Boy, I wish God would heal me. But yet, He's right here. And He's waiting for you to touch Him. Because when He was on the cross, He said, it is finished. What more does He have to do? Huh? He's made everything available to you and to me. Now it's up to us to do something with what He's provided. When we do it, that's when we activate that power that's already there. Whew. I'm starting to preach myself happy. Here are some things. This is not a conclusive list, but here are some things that will activate God's power. Obedience. When the Lord says go, and you go where He tells you to go, there's going to be power there. Obedience. When you do what He tells you to do, there's going to be power there. Doing what He said. Remember the wedding that Jesus was at? And they ran out of wine? Not something you want to do at a Jewish wedding. And Mary saw the need. She said, okay, she gathered the servants. Now she said, whatever He says, do it. Okay, we need wine. Okay, I want you to put water in the pots. No, but we need wine. Put water in the pots. They remember, do what He said. Okay, I don't know, this guy's kind of crazy, but I'm putting this water in this pot. Okay, here's the water. Based on what they did, they activated the power because when the guy came to get the wine, he dipped in, he brought it to the governor, and between the time of dipping in and bringing it to the governor, it became wine, and it was the best wine they ever had. What activated that power? It was their obedience when they did what He said. that activated the power. Action. If you want to read the Great Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, underline how many action words there are in reference to faith. All right? I challenge you to underline how many action words in that chapter there are. When you take action, the Bible says, be a what? A doer. What does a doer do? He does, or she does. When you do, God did, and things will happen. God already did, so when you do, His power is already there. It's your doing that activates the power that's already there. Did God pour out the Holy Spirit in all the earth? Then how come some people don't benefit from the Holy Spirit and others do? Because some found a way to tap into that power. They've tapped into the power to receive, and they can benefit from that power now. All right? I know I'm kind of going fast because I just got so much in me. So hopefully I'm getting it out at a pace that you can understand. We've already mentioned that giving activates the power. Let me give you an example. 1 Kings chapter 17. God tells the prophet Elijah, I want you to... He had just faced King Ahab and said, it's not going to rain except at my word. And he had scripture for that. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Bible says, when you disobey my word, I'll shut up the windows of heaven so it will not rain on the earth. So what Elijah said is actually backed up in scripture. And he said, he told Ahab, it's not going to rain except at my word. And so God says, I'm going to send you to the brook Cherith. There you can get water, and a raven is going to bring you bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. So God commanded a raven, who is a meat eater, to bring the prophet meat. How'd you like to have a raven for a waiter? Come and serve you every day. Ravens were considered unclean. Anyway, so the brook dries up. Just telling Elijah that the brook's not his source. He says, okay, I'm going to send you to a widow woman in Zarephath. God, why can't you send me to a rich woman? No, I'm going to send you to a widow woman because I want to meet her need. I've got power for that woman to prosper. Elijah gets to the gate of the city. He speaks into the city, and he just so happens as he walks into the city, he meets this woman gathering some sticks, her and her son. And this woman is in dire straits. She's about to make her last meal. Now, they're in the midst of a drought. There's no grain. There's no corn. Crops are bad. They're devastated because of this drought. And she said, I'm about to make my last meal. My son and I, we're going to die. And Elijah said, make a meal, but give me a cake first. And the Lord is going to take care of you. And I'm paraphrasing. So the woman did what the prophet said. She went and made a meal and gave the prophet first. What happens when you put God first? Everything else will come into place, right? When she served the man of God first, she did. She took that action in that giving. What happened? The meal and the oil lasted until the drought was finished. That power was available to her, but God needed her to activate it. And her act of giving her the cake first to the prophet caused the power to multiply the grain and the oil. It caused her to eat. Her and her son didn't have their last meal. They gave their last meal, and God gave them every meal after that. Come on now. That's activating the power. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to do an illustration. Okay? How many know that God's got all the power that you need? Right? Did you know that there's power to heal right now? Well, then how come I'm not healed? Well, you got to activate it. Tell me what I have in here. Okay? What I'm going to do is, I'm going to activate a change in this water. Okay? Now, this water is not hot. So, I'm going to just let that activate there. But I want you to know something. Because something was put in the cup, it's causing that cup to be changed. What's in the cup is changing the cup. Are you getting that? Oh, when you put God's word in your heart, that is the very thing that you need to change anything in your life. Oh, hallelujah. When you put tea into a hot cup of water, in a matter of minutes, you no longer call it water. What do you call it? That simple act changes what was inside the cup. My cup is changing. Not really. Anyway, you get the point. Luke chapter 5. Oh, this is powerful. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, say teaching. Did you know that through teaching, power is activated? Jesus did three things in his ministry. He taught, he preached, and he healed. As he was teaching. I'm teaching tonight, aren't I? That means that something is here to meet any need that you have. Notice. There were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal who? Them. So Jesus was teaching. There's power in teaching. I'm so there are many people who choose not to be taught. They think they can do it on their own. But that is so untrue. That is so against what God set up. He set up his kingdom. And he set up teaching to transfer his power to anybody who will believe what they're being taught, as long as it lines up with the word. What was present? Power was present. Who was it present for? For them. In other words, let me say it like this. That power was present to anyone who would tap into it or activate it or set it in motion. Now, Pharisees and doctors of the law were not known for activating God's power because they had a self-righteousness about them. They thought that they were better than most. They were just watching. You know, you can be in a service and not connected to what the Holy Spirit is doing. You got to be hooked up. You got to be plugged in. You got to be connected. You ought to know what the Holy Spirit's going to do right before he does it. And sometimes there's a suddenly when he just takes you unexpected. I like the suddenlies, but there were times I would sit in the service and I'd be like this. I'd watch the minister. You know, it was like watching tennis. But I'd keep my eyes on him. And then I knew when the Holy Spirit wanted to move. And I knew what was going to happen. I kind of had a sense of what was going to happen. That means you're plugged in. Because if you're not plugged in, the power doesn't work. Just a little thought. And behold, verse 18. Men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Say him. How close do you want to get to Jesus? Notice, they were seeking Jesus. They didn't seek a program. They didn't seek a place that had comfortable chairs and nice carpeting and cool air. They sought Jesus. What happens when you seek Jesus? You're going to find him. Knock, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Well, how come the door's not opening? Maybe you're not knocking. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, how many would have given up right there? Oh, I can't get in. You need a swift kick in your cans. That's the very thing that's holding you down. I can't. Shut up. You're not going to activate any power by saying I can't. Anyway, we will pass out Band-Aids at the end. When they couldn't find by way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When you have a determination that you say, nothing is going to stop me from getting to Jesus, I don't care if I have to sit here for 4 hours. I don't care if I have to wait. I'm getting to Jesus. You will activate the power of God. Watch what happens. They've dropped him right before Jesus. Think about it. Jesus is preaching, and all of a sudden, like a spider, they drop him right before Jesus, like a fish. You know, you put the worm right before him. Verse 20. When he saw their faith. What did he see? He saw the action they took to get to him. He saw their faith. Jesus said, the word spoke, your sins are forgiven. That very act of seeing their faith activated the power. Jesus immediately spoke to their situation because they activated the power with their faith, with their action, with their determination, with their perseverance, with their unwillingness to quit. All characteristics of faith, by the way. Jesus saw their faith and said, your sins are forgiven. They activated the power. The power was there, wasn't it? The power was present to heal them. But only this group activated the power. Everybody else in the room had, the power was dormant to them because they didn't activate it. They sat like a frog on a log. Now notice verse 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Say reason. When you begin to reason, the power of God doesn't operate by reason. You can't figure God out. How did that water turn into wine? What chemical reaction? What chemicals were needed to turn that water into wine? Quit trying to figure it out. Just believe it. Oh, that's good wine. Okay, great. Don't try to figure it out. They began to reason. What did they reason? Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? Hello? Boy, that was a clue. They should have said, boy, there's something different about this man. Did you notice that the power of God didn't get on the scribes and the Pharisees? But they were in the meeting. Oh, we had a great meeting. Someone came down from the roof. Yeah, but what did God do for you? How are you going to activate the power of God? What are you going to do to activate the power for you? It's available to you. God does not hold and withhold his power. He gives it to anybody with faith. Faith is like the master key to God's power. It'll unlock every door. And Jesus, he said to them, why do you reason in your hearts? How'd you like to have Jesus answer your thoughts? All of a sudden, the pastor's preaching and he's answering what you were thinking. You'd be like, ooh, clear my head, clear my head. Whether it's easier to say your sins are be forgiven or to say rise up and walk, the same power forgives and heals. The power can do anything you need it to do. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need healing? Do you need increase? Do you need peace? The same power. You get this. You get access to the power, the same power, by faith. It's the same for anybody. Anybody who has faith can benefit from the power. Faith, the power is no respecter of persons, but it does respect faith. Anybody can have faith. Did you know what Jesus said about faith? He said, faith is like a mustard seed. Anybody ever see a mustard seed? Those things are tiny. But Jesus said, when it's planted, it grows into the greatest of herbs. So you can have a seed from God's word. When it gets into your heart, it's going to grow. Say it's going to grow. Expect your faith to grow. Because you're going to need your faith to grow to take on bigger challenges. So Jesus said to the man, he said, arise, take up your couch and go unto your house. And immediately he rose up before them. That he activated the only one in the room that activated the power of God. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. How do we know she meant business? Because she began to make her way to touch his clothes. And when she touched him, Jesus went, woo, who touched me? I don't know if he did that, but he did ask, who touched me? His disciples said, Jesus, there's all kinds of people touching you. Yeah, but only one activated the power. Only that woman. Her touch activated the power. Everybody else's touch, I don't know what they were thinking when they were touching him. I don't know what they expected. Probably nothing. You know when you expect nothing, you get nothing? Isn't that deep? So let's not come to a gathering expecting nothing. Oh, maybe God will move, maybe he won't. Well, if that's the attitude you take, you ain't going to get nothing. I know my English isn't too good tonight, but I don't care. Man. Do you know that every instance of power, it's talking about dunamis power? Do you know what it requires for dynamite to explode? It requires an ignition. Whether it's a fuse or whether it's a trigger or whether it needs to be ignited. By itself, it's not deadly, but when you connect a fuse or an ignition switch to it, it becomes deadly. So what I'm helping you to do tonight is to connect to the power with your faith. Your faith is the fuse, and your words are the match that lights the fuse. And when your words connect with the fuse, you will have an explosion. Whew, man. This is good stuff. I'm going to have to get the tape to find out what I said. Look at Matthew 22:29 here, and I'm almost finished. He was talking to the Pharisees, and Jesus said this statement. He said, because they were making, they didn't understand the resurrection. They were asking him, you know, Jesus, if seven brothers marry this woman, you know, and they die, who's going to be their wife? And they didn't understand the resurrection. Jesus said to them, Matthew 22:29, you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor God's power. They couldn't even recognize the power of God. You know, if you can't recognize the power of God, you certainly can't benefit from it. Now, sometimes God will do something. Remember the man at the gate, beautiful? Peter and John, after having been filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the power, they're walking by and he's looking for handouts. He's looking to get something, money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. What did he have? He had the power. He said, here, rise and walk. That man, he didn't make a faith confession. That was just the spiritual gift in operation. Gifts of healings, working of miracles. Came on him and he walked. And that's great when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. But you know what? They don't operate all the time. They operate as the Spirit wills. But you know what? Faith operates all the time. You know, more people in the Gospels got healed by faith than got healed by other means. There's about 19 different cases in the Gospels of people getting healed. 11 out of 19 got healed by faith. More than half. So what does that tell you about faith? Anybody can get healed by faith at any time. You don't have to wait for the sovereignty of God. You don't have to wait for a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can just do it by faith. But praise God, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, hey, I'm all for it. I'll flow with the Holy Ghost. Any, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to do, I'll do. I'm hooking up with you. But the Pharisees, they couldn't even recognize the power of God. That's why it never benefited from them. You know that many Pharisees in John 12, it says many Pharisees believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but because of the fear of man, they refused to confess him. That means they never activated that power, even though they could have. They believed, but they never confessed. So that power, they never benefited from the power. So, you know, that simple act of confession. Okay. We got some action going on. Now, what would you call that? Weak tea. Yeah, I don't know. It's French vanilla or something. But see, a change took place over time. But if I'd have added heat, let's just say the Holy Ghost is like heat, it would have transformed this a lot quicker. But I activated something by putting something that wasn't in there. To make something different. This was water, but now you call it tea. Changes the color, changes the taste. And God's power is available to you right now at this very moment for whatever you need. You need healing in your body? There's power present to heal. You need salvation? Whoo, man, just come and die, and the Master's calling. God made salvation so simple. Confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he's God's son, and confess him as Lord. How simple can that be? Why? Because he wants everybody to benefit from the power. What do you need from God tonight? His power is here. You need a vision? You need your purpose revealed to you? You need a plan? You need to prosper? You need to be delivered? It's all done by the power of God. Paul said this, and I'm going to close. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And a true believer will act on the word. You can't say you believe and don't do what you're supposed to do. It doesn't work. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And then in another place, he said, I don't want you to put your faith in the eloquence of men. I want you to put your faith in the power of God. Don't put your faith in me. Well, that preacher laid hands on me and nothing happened. Well, that's because the preacher's not the source of the power. I'm just an avenue. I'm just a road that the power of God travels along. But God, Jesus, is the source. And when you look to Jesus, Huh. No, I'm not going to say that. When you look to Jesus, a child can lay hands on you and God's power can come to you. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was in the womb. So say this, say, Father, I lay down my way of doing things, and I put my faith in your power. I believe your word, and that settles it. What your word says, I will do, and I will reap the benefits. Your word is the power for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So leave here tonight, and whatever it is you need, be determined that you're going to get it no matter what.